KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 15 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for sunny skies. A not bad weekend in store for you. A high today around 37 and sunny tomorrow, the high of 41. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest area and state news. Officials of the Cass County Memorial Hospital here in Atlantic have announced that CCMH Women's Health Services is hosting an educational evening called Hints for a Happy, Healthy Heart on Thursday, February 23rd. At 5:30 p.m. events will include an educational program presented by Dr. Amy Arani, stories featuring area women who've successfully restored their heart health after cardiac disease, refreshments, and tours of the CCMH Cardiac Rehab Center. The event will be held in the CCMH atrium and is open to the public. There is no charge and no pre-registration is required. Dr. Arani is a board-certified cardiologist with the Creighton Cardiac Center and Creighton Medical Associates. She cares for patients at the CCMH outpatient clinic several times each month. CCMH Women's Health Services provides ongoing programming related to women's health issues and education. And for more information, you can call Barb at 243-3250, extension 3450. A 40-year-old Sioux City man has been charged with fraud, forgery, and selling insurance without a license. The Sioux City Journal reports Douglas Inlay was arrested last week on Tuesday. Court records show he's bonded out of jail. Inlay faces two charges of ongoing criminal conduct, five counts of selling insurance without a license, two charges of fraudulent submission to an insurer, and one count of fraudulent practice and one count of forgery. He's accused of selling policies and filing claims through his company, Agency One Insurance, from November 8, 2010 to June 7, 2011. The state had revoked his insurance license on November 2, 2010. A Southwest Iowa woman made a direct appeal to state lawmakers Thursday on behalf of other women whose babies have been stillborn. Mandy Ford of Clarinda supports legislation that would allow authorities to issue a birth certificate for stillborn babies. Under current law, a death certificate is issued.
And no parent wants to hold the death certificate for their child, but that is the requirement of the law, and that is what we must do. But our other hand remains empty, because we do not have a birth certificate for our child.
On Thursday, Ford testified before a three-member House subcommittee, talking about the stillbirth of her third child last year.
We will always have empty arms.
According to the Iowa Department of Public Health, about 200 stillbirths are reported in Iowa each year. 32 other states offer a birth certificate and a death certificate to the parents of babies who are stillborn. State law calls it a miscarriage if the pregnancy lasted less than 20 weeks. The state representative who's been named the bill's manager in the Iowa House said he wants to make sure the proposal is fine-tuned and narrowly focused so it doesn't lead to a more wide-ranging debate about abortion. Some Republicans in the Iowa House say they're frustrated with efforts to change the direction of the Board of Regents and want the organization to be more focused on reducing higher education spending. 11 GOP lawmakers have co-sponsored a bill that would ban pay raises for university presidents if the regents also approved a tuition increase. They say it's unlikely the measure will pass, but they want to express their frustration about increased higher education spending and the need for the regents to rein in costs. Regents Bruce Rastetter and Craig Lang acknowledge some Republican lawmakers are unhappy, but they say the regents are working to reduce spending, and they say Iowa universities must pay wages high enough to attract top administrators, even if that creates an image problem. The president of the board that governs the University of Iowa, Iowa State University, and the University of Northern Iowa says board members will visit with House Republicans over the next few weeks in hopes of convincing GOP legislators to forward more money to universities.
This is a process in which we need to negotiate clear to the end to make sure that we have the right numbers so there is not a tuition increase.
Democrats in the Iowa Senate and Republican Governor Terry Branstad have proposed increasing state taxpayer support of the three universities in the next budgeting year, while Republicans in the House have proposed a reduction. Board of Regents President Craig Lang said the board certainly hopes not to have to raise tuition again.
Appropriations is much lower on the House side than we hope for, but we're happy with the governor. The governor has given us an increase of our request. We're happy with that. So on the House side, what we're doing is we're working diligently to make sure that they increase that number. And on the Senate side that came out yesterday, that's a number that we can work with. And if we can work with that number, then certainly we can hold the tuition to what we promise the students.
Governor Branstad has suggested the state university should get $20 million more in state support for the coming year, while Democrats in the Iowa Senate have proposed a $31 million boost for the universities. Bruce Rastetter, president pro tem of the Board of Regents, says the board understands there's a process at work to negotiate with House Republicans who proposed a cut in state support of schools.
We believe it's going to actually be a positive number that's going to come out in support of the public universities of Iowa and their value.
Rastetter and Lang made their comments during an appearance on the Friday evening Iowa public television program Iowa Press, which will be rebroadcast Sunday at noon. The leader of the Iowa Wind Energy Association said the state could lose lots of jobs if the wind energy tax credit isn't extended. Association Executive Director Harold Pryor says the industry is stalled until Congress decides whether to renew the tax credits.
I believe it could be close to 3,000 Iowa jobs lost. Clipper's already laid off 100. Axion is probably going to be laying off some more. Then the tower and blade people are going to be laying off. You know, that could be about 2,000 within the next 3 to 4 months.
And the industry doesn't want to move ahead without knowing what the financial future will be.
There are really no new U.S. wind farms being planned because they don't know whether or not the financing package is going to be there or not.
Wind energy jobs were touted as a way to continue diversifying the Iowa economy, but Pryor says the credit is important to keeping them.
I think at minimum Iowa stands to lose 3,000 jobs in the wind energy industry if this is not renewed.
Opponents of the tax credit say the wind industry needs to stand on its own in this tough budget climate. The tax credit is set to expire at the end of this year. There's a poll out that shows most Iowans oppose a proposed fuel tax increase of 8 to 10 cents a gallon. The Des Moines Register's latest poll, published in its Friday edition, showed that 68% are opposed to the proposed increase and 31% favor the idea. Iowa hasn't raised its 21 cent per gallon fuel tax since 1989, and some lawmakers support an increase to deal with deteriorating roads and bridges. The telephone poll was conducted February 12th through the 15th for the Register by the Seltzer & Company. It has a margin of error of plus or minus 3.5 percentage points. Despite the goodwill expressed with champagne toasts and speeches on cooperation during Chinese Vice President Xi Jinping's visit to Iowa this week, the world's two largest economies still have some thorny disagreements over agricultural trade. Whether it's apples or beef or chicken, trade remains complicated. China and the U.S. are among each other's most important trade partners, but both want the other to buy more. The U.S. has complaints about China's import taxes and refusal to buy beef, while China wants the U.S. to lift its poultry restrictions. It's a sign of agriculture's importance that Xi chose to make it a focal point of this week's trip. The U.S. officials say this wasn't the time to focus on the differences, but instead they plan to have a trade mission to China in March. Elsewhere in state news, police have identified a man who fell to his death from a Des Moines apartment building while trying to get back into the building after being locked out. He's been identified as 31-year-old Michael Paul Nimmers. Officials told Des Moines television station KCCI that it appears that Nimmers locked himself out of his apartment when he went on his balcony to smoke a little before 7 a.m. on Friday. Officers said he was trying to climb up to the roof of the three-story building so he could get back inside when he fell. A 72-year-old Iowa inmate convicted of murder has died in prison. The State Department of Corrections says Hubert Lawrence Hardesty died Thursday because of a stroke and from complications of dementia. Hardesty was being housed in the Iowa State Penn's Hospice Care Unit. Hardesty was serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. He had been sentenced in Jasper County in 2005 in connection with the death of 60-year-old Linda McQuarrie of Des Moines. Prosecutors said Hardesty had been having an affair with McQuarrie. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, a bail hearing has been set for next week for a 29-year-old Moroccan man who was arrested near the U.S. Capitol yesterday as he was allegedly planning to detonate what he thought was a suicide vest. The vest had been given to him by undercover FBI operatives. Officials say the explosives were actually inert, and the man believed the undercover agents were with Al-Qaeda. Egypt's state news agency says the trial of 43 people, including 19 Americans, in a politically charged case against foreign-funded pro-democracy groups will begin February 26th. The investigation has caused the deepest crisis in American-Egyptian relations in decades. U.S. officials say it could hinder more than $1 billion in aid. Egyptian authorities have blasted what they call U.S. indifference. And they're dancing today at Penn State, even though Joe Paterno is no longer there to spur them on. The Hall of Fame coach attended the annual Penn State Dance Marathon every year to rouse 700 students trying to make it through the weekend-long charity event. Paterno died last month at the age of 85. And in our funeral announcements this morning, Eleanor Babe Krogh, age 92, of Exira, died Sunday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Eleanor Babe Krogh will be today at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Constance Connie J. Henkelman, age 60, of Harlan, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Connie Henkelman will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Billy Kirchner, age 63, of Jefferson and formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Regency Park Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Billy Kirchner will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Greenwood Cemetery in Cumberland. Hastings Funeral Home in Jefferson has arrangements. Pearl Elvina Peterson, age 85, of Bella Vista, Arkansas, and formerly of Avoca, died Monday at the Circle of Life Hospice in Springdale, Arkansas. Funeral services for Pearl Peterson will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Juanita M. Highland, age 80, of rural Panora, died Friday at her home. Funeral services for Juanita Highland will be on Monday at 2:30 at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Richard E. Dick Rote, age 77, of Redfield and formerly of Stewart, died Thursday at his home. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Dick Rote will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Redfield United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Alice Bornhoft, age 89, of Manila, died Thursday at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Alice Bornhoft will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Arlene Wagner, age 82, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Arlene Wagner will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Jane Wessling, age 75, of Anita, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Jane Wessling will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has arrangements. Warren T. Chaffee, age 86, of Lancaster, California, and formerly of Harlan, died February 9th. A memorial mass for Warren Chaffee will be held on March the 30th at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Gudrun Jacobson, age 87, of Elkhorn, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Services for Gudrun Jacobson are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. And Ronald Purdy, age 91, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Ronald Purdy are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this hour here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.